Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 299 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When you work with Legacy Realty of Iowa, you're not just getting one of the largest and most trusted real estate agencies in Ankeny, you're partnering with over 75 expert agents who are committed to your success. Whether you're searching for your dream home or selling your property for the best possible price, we offer the right tools, strategies, and support to help get you there. As part of LPT Realty, a national leader in the real estate industry, we combine local expertise with innovative resources to give you an unbeatable advantage. Choose us for unparalleled service, proven results, and a commitment to your success in every transaction. Legacy Realty of Iowa, where your real estate goals become a reality. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of track tonight. In a little while, I'll be visiting with Ankeny boys coach Jordan Mullen and one of his top hurdlers who is back this season after helping the Hawks to the Class 4A state title last year. But right now, my first guest is a realtor, Legacy Realty of Iowa, and she has been on the podcast several times, most recently back in November. She is Rhonda Dix. Rhonda, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Thanks for having me, Dan. I'm great. Thank you for asking.
Hey, you bet. Well, are you getting into March Madness at all? You watching the games?
I love March Madness. I think this is the first year, unfortunately. Unfortunately, I didn't fill out a single bracket, but I did participate in a trivia thing the other night, and I could answer some of the questions regarding March Madness. So, yeah, excited to watch everybody finish up, and of course, you know, dominance with a number one and two seeds. So, I guess I'm excited to see the women too. So,
well, yeah, you know what you're talking about if you know about the one and two seeds. And I know nobody cares about my bracket, but I filled out one men's and one women's, and on the women's, I've missed three games.
Oh, good for you.
So I'm leading that like the Iowa State Alumni Association pool. So
I think I was a little bit surprised in our office. The person that was trying to organize it at the last minute waited till the last minute. And I think everybody else went ahead and jumped and were invited in to play others because they said it was very minimal people that wanted to participate. And I'm like, that's unusual. So anyway.
Interesting. Well, yeah, I'm heading to San Antonio Friday for the men's tournament.
Nice.
So, yeah, looking forward to that.
A little sunshine, hopefully.
Yeah, it's like in the 80s and 90s down there. They got a free concert on Sunday with Chris Stapleton. I don't know if you like him or not.
Yeah. But, good.
So, yeah.
Will you please bring some sunshine back?
Yeah, I'll try. So, well, hey, what's new in the real estate world?
You know, I'm very blessed right now. All of a sudden, the floodgates have opened. I think people have realized we're seeing a little bit of green in the grass, and whether Mother Nature knows what she's doing or not, whether it's spring or winter or what, people are out and about. We're seeing great traffic at open houses. I had a record number last Sunday with 10 groups through, which I thought was phenomenal. I know people that are applying for mortgages, those numbers are up too, regardless of rates. I know people are like, hey, if life's happening, now's maybe a good time to go ahead and proceed with plans as scheduled. So, yeah.
Well, I don't know what happened today with the tariffs. I know with car prices, they can go up now, and I don't even know what the announcement was, but will that affect house prices at all?
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, how soon, we don't know. I know being in the new construction world, we're watching those carefully. Of course, people don't always equate what that means to them, but, you know, products that go into building homes also are affected by what's happening around the country and around the world for that. So right now, lumber prices are holding strong. I know we've moved some great properties that are complete. So I think that's putting a little bit more focus on some of our completed market homes because they're like, hey, just like cars, we don't know what's happening with the new stuff that's coming out. If we want to, not necessarily a good deal, but people are going ahead and making those decisions. So yeah, we sold two of our new construction completed homes in the last few weeks. Our meetings for custom builds are up again. People are starting to talk about that. Usually we're busier in the winter with those. But again, I think people kind of just laid low. And now, like I said, we're firing on all cylinders.
Do you have any specific properties you want to talk about?
Oh, thanks for asking. MJ, we did do a couple price reductions here this week on two of our market homes. They're great ranches over in Centennial Estates. That's just north of the high school there and to the west. Close proximity to Trestle Trail, you know, for those bike enthusiasts. Neighborhood Elementary, not too far away. But we did $10,000 price reductions on two of our homes. Both of those will be open this coming weekend. end. So price points, one of them, our least expensive one right now is at $519. That gets you a little over or close to 1,600 square feet up with a finished basement, so four bedrooms, three baths. And then we have another great ranch that, again, is also located over there in Centennial Estates. That one's at $550,500. So again, a little freshening of some prices on a couple of those. We're anxious to put some new builds in the ground too. So always trying to think ahead for those people that might not be in the market for a custom build, but you know, that's kind of our niche too.
Now, do you have an open house this weekend, or do you have to work most weekends with open houses?
I do. I don't mind it. I actually like it. It's an opportunity to get in front of people. I like to talk. Anyway, but again, it's educating the public on some of the things that are going on. Of course, you hear a lot in the media, but just because you hear it in the media doesn't necessarily mean it's maybe local to our market. The Midwest is always a good purchase, you know, in real estate. We're not as subject to some of the wide swings that the coasts are. You know, I'm feeling bad for some of the markets. I know Florida's super soft right now. I just was reading an article from Realtor.com, I believe it was yesterday, and I know a lot of people are now moving back to their roots here in Iowa to get close to family, but also appreciating that our pricing is stable and there's good values here.
So when you say Florida's soft, that means people aren't moving there, right?
Yeah, people are struggling. They're sitting on inventory, which, like I said, I know... you know, a lot of people spend some time down there too, but I've had a few people that I know personally that are struggling. Their homes have been on the market for quite some time, and it's like price reduction, price reduction, price reduction. So it might be a good time to pick up a secondary home, you know, in a warmer climate too. But also piggybacking on that, we're seeing a lot of people emerging from their secondary homes in the South. They're coming back to the Midwest. So again, they're reentering the market, which is also adding some excitement.
One of my buddies that I'm meeting this weekend at the Final Four lives in Florida now, and he says a lot of people that move down to Florida end up, they call them halfbacks. Do you know what that is?
No.
So it's like people from New York that move down to Florida, and like that's too much of a change for them, so they move halfway back, so they go to like the Carolinas, maybe Virginia, so they call them halfbacks.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Well, like I said, it's kind of fun. Like I said, I've done this for a few years now, and I know people are like, what do you think? It's kind of a weird market, and I think people have settled into the fact that, you know, rates are, you know, right around that 6.5. I mean, we'd love to see them go lower. I mean, there's some fluctuation there, but there's a lot of moving pieces still with the economy that that do affect, unfortunately. And people are being very cautious and maybe more thoughtful with their purchases, even in the local grocery stores. You know, we're seeing it equate to gas, groceries, all the things that also take away from your income.
Yeah, I know. I don't even look like at the stock market because I know it just goes up one day, goes down.
I don't either. I don't either. I'm just hoping I don't need that anytime soon.
That's right.
So.
Well, Rhonda, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks for having me. See you soon.
You bet. All right. You're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right, well, joining me now are two representatives of the Ankeny Boys track team. To my left is the head coach of the squad who guided the Hawks to a runner-up finish in Class 4A in his first season in 2023 before leading them to the school's first state title since 1972 last spring when they scored a record 112 points. He is Jordan Mullen. Jordan, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Dan. How you doing?
I'm doing good. And to my right is a junior hurdler for the Hawks. He ran on the state runner-up shallow hurdle relay a year ago when he also placed 15th in the 110 hurdles. He's off to a great start this season, and we'll get into that here in a minute. He is Hayden Carlson. Hayden, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, I'm just going to bounce some questions back and forth between the two of you guys. Coach, let's start with you. When you came here a couple years ago from Atlantic, where you'd had a lot of success, you took over a team that had placed third in Class 4A in 2022, but the Hawks had finished 40 points behind the champions from Dowling Catholic. You know, I'm sure you saw a lot of talent in the program when you first arrived, but are you surprised at all by where you're at right now, coming off that dominant performance at last year's state meet? You know, is this the kind of success that you envisioned when you came here?
Well, like I said, I touched on it. I wanted to build a culture, and I wanted to get to 4A, and I didn't know how long it would take. I didn't know it would take a year, two, three, and we've been blessed with a core group of track-first kids, and they bought in quickly. It took a short year. It really did. We come out and drop those 80 points. We had a shot that first year. I didn't know if any of us really knew until it got down to the 1600, and Ethan Zuber actually, I think we were projecting him to go like top six, but then he ran his way to a second-place finish, and we're like, oh my gosh, we can win this thing. And obviously Johnson was a little bit tougher that year, but the biggest thing is building off that. I remember that core group coming back, and they just said, we're gonna win. I remember coming into the last year, and all I had to do was hold up 4 points. It hurts, and those kids showed it. Hayden was one of them. He's one of those kids that has put so much work in, and I don't know how low he can go, but I got a good feeling he's gonna be my first sub 14 hurdler, and it's it's one of those things where, they build off each other. And when you're around success, that's just truly what happens, I believe.
Well, Hayden, you would have been a freshman when Coach Mullen came in. He helped get you to state that first season when you ran on the fifth place shuttle hurdle relay unit. Do you remember what your first impressions of Coach were? Did you think right away that this was a guy who could lead the team to some great heights?
Definitely. He brought an energy right away that you could just feel in the gym that we were in. And those first few hurdle practices, I didn't even know how to hurdle, basically. It was bad. But he really worked with us well, not even on the track, but even outside the track, just in our minds and mentally. And that went a really long way, so definitely.
Well, coming into this year, Coach, I know you wanted the guys to appreciate what you accomplished last year and to remember all the hard work that went into reaching your goals. But I know one of your mottos is to stay humble and hungry, because obviously what you did last year, that's not going to matter when you guys toe the line this year, is it?
No, it's not. And like I said, I will never take away from that program what they did or that team last year. They were a very fun team. We got a lot of kids back from that team, but it is a new year. Everyone's facing new adversities, not just us, but across the state and everything like that. So you have to treat it like a new year. Will I ever forget that year? No, absolutely. And I know the kids that were a part of that team never will either, but that's part of that chapter in high school, is just really getting to remember what you accomplished. And last year was a big stepping point, and I even look back, to a little bit further right before I got there. If we can bring a trophy home this year, the senior class will have not gone through the state meet without bringing home a trophy. And I remember looking back when I started coaching, I was like, gosh, what would it be like to get a trophy? Mm-hmm. And now it's, you look back, and I know it wasn't a part, hats off to, I believe Nick Nelson was the coach that year. Mm-hmm. And it's like to get to trophy that year and then build off of that for the next two, our goal this year, we would like to take home another trophy. And sure. It'd be a very special memory for those seniors to send them out and say, hey, the worst I did was X amount of place, but still bringing home a trophy.
Well, you kind of touched on this briefly there a minute ago. You have some athletes who focus on track year-round, or maybe some that perhaps do both track and cross-country. But, Hayden, you're not one of them. You played football in the fall and basketball in the winter. So did you feel like you had some catching up to do as far as getting into shape at the beginning of the season? Or did you feel like competing in those other sports, gave you a good base to work with and put you in a pretty good place coming into the season?
Hurdle-wise, definitely felt like I was a little bit behind, because that's a event that you need a lot of technique for. Mm-hmm. But condition-wise, I think basketball and football put me in a pretty solid place to start.
Well, considering the times you've been posting, you seem to be doing okay, and we'll get into that here in a minute. Coach, your team's already off to a great start this season. Last Thursday, you guys competed in the early bird relays at Milwaukee Northwest. The highlight of that meet came in the shuttle hurdle relay, where Hayden teamed up with Landon Pote, Sam Madsen, and Gavin Wise to win that race in 57.67, which broke the school record, and that was the third fastest time ever in Iowa. I know you had some high hopes for this group coming into the season, but do you expect them to run such a fast time this early on?
No, I think they gave me crap. I think I put them down for a 59.50, and I had to rebuttal myself after they ran that, because I told myself I wasn't going to get emotional. I'll try not here. I've invested a lot of time into that group, and I try not to be biased, but I hurdled, and I hurdled for a long time, so I love the team, but I also love my hurdlers, and I had no clue what they were going to do, but I knew Northwest, they nipped us up at Iowa State, and one of the goals this year, I gave them a reset, because we got nipped, and I said, well, now we're back to 0-0. It's outdoor. And Northwest ain't going anywhere. We do know that. But they got their hands full, because we're not going to stop. It's all brakes, or all gas, no brakes right now. And we've talked a lot. I don't want to focus on a time this year. I want to focus on just training them to win. Every meet's going to be different weather-wise, but as long as we can keep picking off and keep winning every race now, it's going to set us up well for the end of the season, because I don't know what they can do, but I've told them, I send out messages and stuff to the kids, and I think what they can do is something really special if they run to their potential this year.
Well, and Hayden, what was your reaction when you saw the time on the board? You know, did it feel like you guys were running that fast? And like Coach mentioned, I know you're being pushed by Northwest, so I guess you had to run that fast, didn't you?
Yeah, seeing Landon Polk come out of the blocks, he's always so consistent, and he looked really, really fast. I saw Sam coming to me. He looked really solid. I tried to do my job to get it to Gavin, and he finished it for us, so it felt really well. But he said it earlier. He put it as a 59.5. We didn't really like that very much, so we wanted to go prove him wrong.
Well, maybe that was a motivational ploy, huh?
Well, I had to also give him a little bit of crap. Like, you know, we didn't go sub-60 till conference last year. We went 59.35 at Southeast Polk for fourth, so I had to give him a little bit of crap and say, hey, guys, we didn't run to our potential till May last year. So it was like I said, a very fun team joke there. But like I said, it was an exceptional opening mark.
Well, Ethan Zuber also had a nice night that night at that meet in the 800. He posted a time of 155.22 that almost met the Blue Oval standard for the Drake Relays. He then came back on Saturday in the Ruth Marski Invitational at South Dakota State, where he easily won the 3200 in just over 914, and that did meet the Blue Oval standard in that race. And he'll also be headed to Drake in the 1600 after running a time of 412 in that race earlier this spring. You know, so he's obviously off to a great start this season. Now, he's got a lot of work to do to top what he did last year when he won three events at state and placed second and a fourth. But I know you told me earlier that that second place finish is still kind of eating at him, isn't it?
Yep. Coach John Linneman has done an absolute exceptional job with that distance program way before I was even here. But what he's done with that group and the building and the confidence he gives those kids is absolutely amazing. But Ethan Zuber, I talk to him a lot because I don't get to take any credit for him, but he is one of the best teammates we have. Hayden and I were actually just literally talking about him on the way over, how special of a kid. So as a coaching to sit back, I don't coach him. I watch him as a fan, and I just, like I said, I don't want to brag about anyone, but I don't care if you like track or not. Get out and watch him run this year, because you never know what he's going to do. And like I said, that second place finish, I'll say this, and he might not like it. I'm glad he got second, because this year I think he's going to come back and revenge that. So.
Well, Hayden, you also had a huge performance on Saturday. You placed second in the 110 hurdles in 14.36 seconds, which broke the school record that was previously held by your former teammate, C.J. Akola, that also allowed you to qualify for Drake. And I know you were trying to chase down a guy that ran sub-14 on Saturday, but it seemed like you were running that fast. Did you think you were capable of putting up a time like that this early in the season?
I don't know about this early in the season, but knowing what our shuttle did, it definitely put a confidence in my mind that I didn't really have before. And Coach Mullen always is encouraging us like crazy to run as fast as we can and never don't lose, basically. Just catch the guy in front of you. So that's what I was trying to do, and he took me to that time.
Well, Coach, what was your reaction to Hayden's race? That had to be a big confidence builder for him, huh?
It was huge. Hayden, I've been talking a lot this year. I know he's got high hopes for this season, and he's earned every bit of it. He's a kid. I know he's a lot taller than me, so I'd give anything for his height back when I was competing, but he's a kid that works, and I absolutely love it. The way he attacks the hurdle, the sky is truly the limit for him. I didn't know how fast he was going to go. I knew he was going to go way faster than his 14.89 last year. I know that was his plateau last year. He ran it three times in a row, I believe, and I knew he was going under it. I just didn't know how far, because that Brady Wallace from Trainer, he's an absolute hammer in 2A. He's going to be tough to beat this year. We'll see him again at Drake, but I have a feeling when we get to Drake, it's going to be a little bit closer race, because Hayden's looking really good, and that was Hayden's first opener. And I know, like I said, I know I like to talk competition with my kids. We got Quentin Alexander, who also opened up at 1391, defending state champion, only in 4A, so I'm more looking and paying attention to him than Wallace, but I want to give hats off to Brady. I think he did help pull Carlson to a really nice time, but like I said, he's got a lot more in the tank. That's his opener.
Sure. Well, MJ Properties is also a sponsor of the podcast and the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic as well, and we certainly appreciate their support. All right, well, we are breaking down the boys' track season thus far with Coach Jordan Mullen of Ankeny and junior hurdler Hayden Carlson. Coach, you guys had some other big performances on Saturday. Ike Smith placed second in the 1600 and fourth in the 800. And I know sometimes Ike gets overshadowed by Ethan, like a lot of runners do, but those are a couple of really nice times for him, weren't they?
Yeah. Yes, Ike Smith. He opened up. I know he wanted to go back after his meet record because he had the meet record there. He opened up at 421 last year, and I believe the kid out of Pier was the one that nipped him, I think. But to then come back, he ran a monster PR. If I remember correctly, he's sitting fourth in 4A right now in the mile, which is huge. And then he doubled back, and he just missed his PR. I know we were talking. I think he just missed his PR in the Open 800. So to have a double like that this early in the season, now we just got to keep building with him because he's you're right. I mean, a kid that goes 418, that doesn't get overlooked on too many other teams. But, you know, but for him to get a train with Ethan too, but they get a train day and day. And, you know, Ethan's making him better, but Ike's making Zuber better as well. Sure. And so for them to have that companionship and teamship, I think it's benefited both of them.
And then your 4x1 team placed fourth in a time of 43.39 seconds, which also met the Blue Oval standard for Drake. Alex Zuber anchored that relay and also placed third in the 200. You know, I'm sure you feel like that relay is capable of running a lot faster down the road, don't you?
Oh yeah, no, that's a promising relay. We got a lot of speed yet, and we're starting to piece things together, and then we can start to fine tune our lineup. Alexander's having a heck of a season right now for just a sophomore. I sometimes forget that he's just a 10th grader, but he's running really well right now. I dive back in, and you know, I don't ever compare athletes, but Jack Belding went 22.78 as a sophomore. That's a good name to be compared to. I think Alexander Zuber can get right down, if not a little bit below that, in the open too. I don't know what he can do in the quarter yet this year, but he's given us a really nice split out of the blocks already. So we're going to continue to build pieces off him, and I'm glad that we have him for a couple more years.
Well, Hayden, let's take a look at your upcoming schedule. You guys will compete in the Ram Relays on Thursday at Southeast Polk, and then you'll head to the Brooks Relays on Saturday at Valley. The forecast doesn't look too bad for tomorrow, but I think on Saturday it could be in the 40s with a decent chance of rain. And I know you have to be prepared for any kind of weather this time of year, but especially with an event like the hurdles, you really don't want to be running on a slick track, do you?
No, not really. It really, the weather doesn't really affect it too much, but definitely when the wind is kicking, it doesn't really feel very good.
So it's kind of hard to even judge the hurdles if you got to account for the wind?
Yeah, it's a lot more difficult than it seems, but Gavin White does a good job in our warm-ups trying to lead us into the wind or whatever, where we're going to be running, so we kind of get used to it a little bit.
And Coach, I'm sure you'll see some good teams at both of those meets, but I'm guessing your goal at any of these meets isn't necessarily to win the team title. Isn't it more about preparing each of your athletes and your relay teams, you know, for the long-term goals? Because, you know, you're not going to run somebody like Ethan in four events at every meet, are you?
No. Like I said, there's no hiding what you have in track. It's truly being healthy in May, you know. We didn't look pretty last year. We didn't look pretty the year before. But I always tell the kids, when we want to go win a meet, we will. And I let them know that. And it's the same thing. We won two meets last year. We won districts and state. We fine tune and we use the meets. But like I said, we also building our team up. You know, getting those younger kids to run at those bigger meets. It's when they have that excitement. It's building a culture. Because like I said, the kids are ready to go. It's just we got to make sure they're healthy in May. And it's you know. You see a lot of really great times, you know, following up into April, and then all of a sudden, where did they go? We don't want to be one of those teams. You know, yes, we still have to train and compete, but we also have to limit our meters. And I think that's the biggest thing. People know what we have. It's just we want to be healthy in May.
Sure. Well, looking ahead to Drake, that's always somewhat of a preview of the state meet. And Hayden in the 110 hurdles, Coach mentioned these competitors a little bit ago earlier there. Quentin Alexander of Cedar Rapids Prairie has already ran the 13.91. Brady Wallace, a trainer, has ran 14.01. So you definitely have your work cut out for you in that event. But you probably like having those guys to compete against and maybe pull you along, huh?
Yeah, it's really nice competing with really fast people. It helps a lot on the track.
Well, last year at Drake, you placed 28th in the 110 hurdles. I'm sure your goal for this year, you know, is to get into the finals and then to see what you can do, huh?
Yes, definitely.
Well, Coach, last year you guys made some big statements at Drake. You got a win from Logan Fairchild in the 100, the 4x8 relay, a race to a victory in the third fastest time ever in Iowa. You know, do you feel like having a huge weekend at Drake, you know, can be kind of a springboard, you know, to another big weekend at state a few weeks later?
Yeah, I think it's important to, you know, put your powerful relays together. I'm not so much focused on the open at the Drake relays because we know what we can do there. I think it's an important piece, though, to piece some really nice things together and make some noise there because then, you know, at leads you right into championship season, like you said, Dan. It's one of those things where conference, district, state, well, Drake's right first. See a little bit of a preview, set that tone high, and you can ride that energy out for the next 3 weeks to get you through the state meet, and I think that's really important.
Well, I know the state meet is a long ways away, but I want to get your thoughts on a few other athletes and events. I mentioned Logan Fairchild there, and I haven't heard much about him yet this spring, and the same goes for Tyler Sickerson, who missed the state meet last year due to an injury. You know, those are obviously two of the best sprinters in the state, you know, when they're healthy. You know, how are they doing? Do you expect them to make a big impact here soon?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, it's we got to overcome a little bit of adversity. You know, I don't want to speak too much on the topic. It's just one of those things where we're trying to get them back. And like I said, I know Logan's ran in that 4x4 that we ran. He ran a really nice leg. We're just overcoming a little bit of adversity right now. Sickerson's been back on the track. We've been getting some speed work in. We haven't set a date. You know, I know I remember back in college, my athletic trainer, Doug West, was like, hey, we're never going to set a date on when you get back. And he goes, it's just going to happen. So Tyler's making great strides right now. We're excited for it. We were laughing a little bit today. He's like, coach, I'm out of shape. I'm like, that's okay, buddy. We got 6 weeks to get there. So we're just day by day. And we'll see where we're at come May.
All right. Well, we talked about Ethan earlier. Of course, he's got a chance to defend his title in the 3200, and you think he's going to avenge that loss in the 1600. You know, he's a guy who's also elite in the 800. Is there any chance that he could try for that individual triple, or is that just too much to ask?
It's not too much to ask. It comes down to, you know, I remember last year, because we asked if he wanted that open eight last year, knowing what we had on a 4x8, right before we knew what we had on a 4x8 at Drake, I was like, hey, you know, and I barely got it out of my mouth, and he goes, I want to run with my team. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just the type of kid he is. He's going to go do his thing in the 32 in the mile, but he does like those relays. Will we give him the option again this year if our 4x8's not there? Yeah, but I don't want to. I know we haven't opened that 4x8 up yet, but I know it's a kid that does get overshadowed. Tate Brownsberger, you know, I know he ran to a third place finish at Saturday, and he PR'd big in that 400, but then he came back and he ran a 206. We were ecstatic. Mm-hmm. It was one of those things where Coach Lindeman and I were talking, we're like, we just need him to go under 210 because we need one more piece for that 4x8 to have another potential sub 40 or 740 4x8. And he might be our piece, you know. So when we open that up, we'll know. And obviously, we will give Ethan that. But, you know, a guy that's going to be opening up tomorrow, you know, Nick Roby, you know, I can't say enough. His energy levels and everything. He opened up, I know it was only a split, but he opened up 7 seconds faster on a split from the year before, you know, and it was a 157.77. Unofficial, of course. But, you know, he's one of those kids that, you know, he's, hey, coach, I'm scoring in that open eight this year. He got nipped last year, right. You know, so we have that. They got a big enough taste last year to where they're bought in. They're ready to go. So, you know, I don't know, you know, I know this sounds crazy. I don't know if we need Ethan for the open eight because, you know, we got an Ike Smith that's going to be maybe trickling in there too. So do we double in the eight and then go win the 4x8 or compete for a title in that 4x8? We don't know yet. So we do have some pieces to put together, is the long story short, but it's going to be fun getting those pieces put together before we get to districts.
Well, it's nice to have a lot of options.
Yes, I do like having the options. It's a lot better than sitting here staring at a blank sheet of paper.
Well, heading in the shuttle hurdle, you guys will be looking to win the title after placing second in that event a year ago. Cedar Falls is the defending champ, but I'm sure you like your team's chances. If you guys run like you're capable of, I mean, you got to feel like you can win it.
Definitely. We talk about it a lot. We're a pretty close group of guys, so our alternates are also pretty close with us. We practice every single day together. We bond every single day. So we do a lot of talking. We got some get back to give to other people, I think.
Well, I know Coach mentioned that he doesn't like to focus on time, and I don't even know what the Iowa all-time best is in that event, but you guys have already ran the third best time ever. You know, do you think that all-time record is within your grasp?
I think so. Like I said, we've done a lot of talking, and we want to maybe get it done here in the next couple meets.
57-18, Dan, 57, if you want to know.
Okay.
One of my very good friends coached that squad, so it's one last record I'd like to take down if we can. I know I don't talk times much, but if we run our potential, we got a heck of a shot.
Well, they just got another half second to go.
Yeah, so. Right.
Well, Coach, Coach Landon told me for the Prep of the Week feature a week ago that you're a nut job when it comes to points and knowing what the team is capable of doing at the state meet, and that you said last year was just the beginning for what this program can accomplish. You know, as long as you guys can stay healthy and put the right people in the right places, I mean, like you talked about earlier, you have to feel good about this team's chances to win a trophy.
Yep. As long as we're all healthy come May, you know, I know we're going to have some adversity, and it's not just our team. It's all, you know, I got a lot of friends across the state that are coaching. They're going through the same stuff. It's that get the aches and pains out and making sure everyone's healthy come May. I will say we're going to be in the hunt. You know, you just never know. You know, I talked to a lot of coaches. I've been around long enough now to see a lot. We're going to be competitive, and we're going to be dang good. And the biggest thing is just making sure we bring the most points I have on paper. I am a nut job. Last year, I had 111 circled on paper going into the state meet. We went 112. The year before, I had 78 circled on paper. We went 80. That's where my science got. Like I said, I take pride in that. I absolutely love it, but, you know, I also know what else is around. I don't even want to take a guess how many hours I have behind the screen of a computer already. I feel like I know some teams better than their own than their own coaches, but, you know, there's also a lot of things that I didn't project this year that is early in the season, but there's some really good-looking dudes out there across the board from jumps, throws, but they're always well. I know Brant Carlson, a guy I coach with, is one of my very good friends, and he's like, "Coach, I know you're new to 4A, but he goes, every year something's going to shock you. It's the big class for a reason."
Right. Well, Hayden, I'm sure you've seen a lot of the good teams around the state already this year at the various meets. I mean, do you have a feel yet for which teams might challenge you guys for the title come May?
Coach Mo would probably have a better idea than me. I kind of stick with the hurdles, but I think we definitely have a great shot seeing Zuber, Smith, all the distance guys running together. The throwers are throwing pretty well. The sprinters are sprinting. We all try to do that for each other. So I think if we all put it together, we can have a great shot.
Well, I'm definitely going to ask Coach the same question. I'm sure you've already seen a glimpse of some of these teams. I mean, at this point, I know it's early, but I mean, what teams could you see challenging you guys?
You know, the CIML is always really tough. You know, Northwest on paper right now, they've got a heck of a squad. Bettendorf is a team I'm really keeping an eye on. They keep progressing. All of a sudden, they've got three 400 hurdlers under 57. I know they only get two of those, but that all of a sudden they came out. So Bettendorf's a team I got my eye on in Eastern Iowa. Of course, we all know Cedar Falls returns a bucket squad, and they're going to be tough, but they got to stay healthy too as well. You know, they just opened up last week. They're going to be, you're going to start seeing the times drop. Long story short, you can never count out Dowling Catholic. I know they got some great sprinters and they always have great throwers, and they always, their distance coach down there, I can't think of his name right now, but he's had a distance program as long as he's been coaching. You know, I think he's got 13 or 14 state titles in the cross country. You know, it's like, so Dowling's a team you can just never count out. But like I said, if I had to go very early, I would say, you know, obviously we're in that hunt, but then you got Dowling, Bettendorf's looking really good. Cedar Rapids Prairie could be a little scary because they've got some power. Their jumpers are starting to jump now. They've got a little bit of power on that sprint side. And then I think Bettendorf's our sleeping team right now that could really early season projections, but I think they could put a lot of points up right now.
Well, it should be a fun season. I'm looking forward to maybe some better weather than we have today. A little windy today, but it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Good luck the rest of the season, guys, and thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Dan.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa. At Legacy Realty, we combine the best of both worlds, the local expertise of over 75 agents in the Ankeny Metro, with the innovative power of LPT Realty, one of the fastest-growing nationwide brokerages. Our agents have the flexibility to tailor their services to meet your needs, and they are equipped with advanced marketing strategies to help you achieve your goals. Looking to buy or sell? Our local agents know the Ankeny market inside and out, and they're here to guide you through every step of the process. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, we have the resources to help you succeed. Legacy Realty of Iowa, local expertise, national strength, your real estate advantage. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had Realtor Rhonda Dix, along with Ankeny Boys track coach Jordan Mullen and junior hurdler Hayden Carlson. I appreciate the time from all those folks. And looking ahead to next week, I think we're going to have a podcast focusing on girls soccer. I think we'll have both Ankeny coach Simon Brown and Centennial coach Chris Allen in here. Both teams have big games coming up on Tuesday night that we can talk about. And we'll also be breaking down, previewing the upcoming derby game the following Monday. So come back next week. week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.